Meeting to order. We're going to pledge allegiance, folks.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Lambert, roll call. Here.
Here.
Anthony Brodnix. You're on mute, Anthony.
He's present and accounted for.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Thank you.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker. Absent.
Okay, we're going to change things around a little bit. If anybody has some statements from the floor regarding the meeting, they can go ahead and stand at the podium and make your statements. Going once.
You know what? I'm going to make a statement.
All right.
David Ellis, Town of Munster.
Thank you.
I just want to comment that this is a very nice meeting room, beautiful way it's laid out. And I appreciate everything that the Little Calumet River Board does, keeping an eye on the water flow through our community and making it much better than it was 20 years ago.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate you guys hosting our meetings for the years you did.
We were glad to do it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Going once, going twice. All right, moving along here. Minutes from the previous meeting. What do we have the pleasure to do?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from our meeting of February 19th, 2025 as draft.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second. Any questions on the motion? Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Ruszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gostecki?
Yes.
Anthony
Brodnix? Abstain. Abstain.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
All right. The next thing on the agenda is the chairman's report. Chairman is out for this meeting. Just want to thank everybody for coming out in such beautiful weather tonight. And we've got a lot of presentations that we're going to go through, so I don't want to belabor that too much. We're going to go on to the next item, which is the finance report.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for March 2025 in the amount of $221,924.04.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
You have a second. Mr. Repay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to go over a couple of them for $221,000. Hit the first one, which is Hasse Construction for $69,886.80. That's for the culvert clearing. Pay estimate one, those are for the four culverts underneath 94. Currently, they have one complete. And storms keep going. And the second one should be open and available for inspection on this Friday, weather permitting. Although, with as much rain we got, I don't know if that's going to be holding the same schedule. The second one is American Structure Point for $24,218.98 for Rock Ripple Trail. That's a continuation of the Rock Ripple. We stopped it at, if for those of you who've been out there, we stopped it at a point. This is to connect it to Liverpool and then ultimately to the existing Lake Station Trail just off of Wyoming. And ultimately that will be completed. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, though, that is our contractor for pump stations. Their amount is $10,210. And then we have some construction management for the culvert clearing. It, as you can imagine, doing cleaning underneath 94 is a difficult and a lot of coordination is needed between NDOT, ourselves, the contractor, as well as the weather. And that's for $15,560. And there's some first response maintenance who did some repairs to the service road between First Street and Chase. So I will answer anything else if there's any other ones that you want me to discuss.
Anybody have any questions regarding the claims?
Yeah, I have a couple questions.
David?
Dan?
Yes.
Can you possibly tell me, has any of these contractors have reached out to have minority participation on some of these contracts?
I know Grimmer has it, but Grimmer doesn't have a bill on here. Grimmer has a contractor. I don't recall the name, but I can get it to you afterwards. Mr. Garcia made sure of it.
Right,
Mr. Garcia is a minority contractor as well.
Right. All right. Thank you.
About first response maintenance.
They are a minority contractor.
About Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance.
Yes, that is a minority contractor.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Lambert?
Pat Wyszynski?
Yes.
Chuck Mazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnicks?
Yes. Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
All right. Moving right along. Executive Director's Report.
If you guys ever watch Blues Brothers, those ambulances go by just as much as the train goes by their apartment. So you'll get used to hearing those. The culvert clearing, as I discussed, HASI under 8094 is going to be on their second one, hopefully, as long as it doesn't get flooded out. As you go to the east, the culverts become easier and easier to clean because there's less sediment in them, so they'll go quicker. The first one furthest to the west is always difficult. They've already done that. There was no issues. They've videotaped it. So far, so good in that regard. Grimmer Construction, which is, as I said, they're about halfway done on the Gary North and Gary South sluice gates. Those are just a smaller gates that they have to do, videotape, and also clean those out as well. Working with NDOT, we're coordinating with NDOT so they could see some of these culverts. We've also had discussions with them regarding landside drainage, all the phragmites and all the gunk that is built up. We're waiting on the proper permit. They won't be as long as the Army Corps permits, I'm assuring you, to get, just so we have safety precautions. So when we do clean that out, the expressway is a lot easier to drain. And then we are also looking at future projects with them that are really based off of the 2009 NDOT report through HMTB, where they asked for a lift station at I-65, as well as one off of Indianapolis Boulevard. The Army Corps inspections for Gary North, Gary South, Marshalltown, and Griffith, as well as Burr Street, are scheduled to begin on April 7th. We do not have any dates for Hammond, Highland, or Munster. We're not sure if they have enough funding for that. So we know they have enough funding for these, and that's what we're going with. We are waiting on permits still for Sandbar, which is probably going to be the longest one that it will take. Although we have positive movement on the sluice gate modification, as well as the levee stabilization, both were brought to our attention in 2022 as a part of our inspections. And I put down a cost estimate as to what we think those will cost based on the engineer, as long as the Corps doesn't change anything drastically. The last item regarding the Army Corps is the geotechnical study. We've been working with Berg Engineering on this for a while. Their request was so that we have a full-time geotechnical person or structural engineer watching them drill a hole for 83 holes. They're not giving that up. And quite honestly, the information that we will get from this is more important than trying to fight them for years to come on it. And this is an important aspect that we need for the Lomar. So in April, you will see we're going to get some proposals to man that area outside of Burke to watch them drill holes.
Does it have to be a core individual?
No, it has to just be a licensed geotechnical or structural engineer that has to monitor the drilling. It's a new one, but you know, like I said, we've been at this with them. You guys approved that contract with Burke probably in spring of last year, and we've tried to every which way to help or sort of meet in the middle. And at this time, and I'll talk about City of Gary later, but we talked to City of Gary. City of Gary wants to do the Lomar, and the longer we take doing this, you know, we're already arguing with them enough on a sandbar, so I don't think they're going to be so much amenable to doing it with us.
Is that the only stumbling block?
Yeah.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. So yes, is that an individual that comes with the drilling company, or would it be the, like, Burke would supply that or coordinate that?
It could be either one of them, but we're choosing to do a independent way. That way it keeps, it gives us independence of watching, because Burke is hiring the drilling. They're doing, so we need a third party, in my opinion, to look at it. And I think it's an easier sell to the Corps to say we have a third party separate from the entity that has been fighting with you for the last 8 months about why we need someone out there.
But be an independent contractor.
Yeah, of our choosing or whatever. Yeah.
Got it.
And it's, you know, it's going to be, it's not a cheap thing. I think we estimate it to be 150, 200,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have an engineer, licensed engineer sitting there, and that's just not cheap.
Really?
I mean, I got a couple engineers sitting up here right now that I know that are not cheap.
I have a couple questions, Chairman, if I may.
Yeah.
Mr. Okay.
Go on, Anthony.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay. That answered my first question, I think, was roughly the cost. So it must be several hours. I'm thinking $200-$300 an hour. That's a lot of hours to get to 150,000. So the other question I had was with the Corps. You said the Corps doesn't have funding to That's do the correct. Inspections for part of the levy inspection. Could that have a downstream effect on our certification?
The question, yeah, that it is true that they currently don't have funding, regardless of the continuing resolution in Congress. It goes back to 2020 when allegedly that they didn't spend enough money. And so now they got their budget cut. So now they don't have enough money currently, as we were told, to have the inspection. So what would happen then, and it's happened in other levy systems, we would have to hire an engineering company to certify the levy, which is sort of the fox watching the hen house. I mean, like, if we really wanted to be, I mean, we all want the system to work, but you're paying the person to give you, and that's like
right.
someone to get a poll done for you. Like, they're going to say you're a great person, but reality, but I mean, we hope that they would give us everything. They would use the same guidelines. I mean, we hope that doesn't happen, but they haven't been able to give me a date as to when the inspections for those communities are because they lack the funding currently.
Thank you.
So they're going to do Gary. I don't think they're going to have as many people, so we'll see. I'll be there April 7th. We generally start at the railroad tracks just off Arbogast, and we work our way to the east.
To the east. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. Did they confirm
that they're going to be there on April 7th?
April 7th, they're going to be there. I have to get the pre-inspection reports to them by tomorrow.
Okay.
So basically, the pre-inspection reports say what we have done since the last inspection. Anything that we've corrected, anything that we fixed. So for on this one, we'll just use the PLCs. The PLCs have all been submitted. We'll also say you'll also have the data for all the culvert inspections, which is needed every 5 years. Even though it's going on right now, and we've invited them to go look themselves if they want to, I just don't think they have the ability. So moving to City Gary, I had discussions a lot of things with a lot of different people, trying to get an advisory board appointment, and I think they've got one. We're just waiting on a letter from the mayor. Some drainage issues in the Black Oak area north of 94. They want us to look at, they had an initial report done by the Army Corps. And so we're going to sort of look at that, see where we can help as well as the ordinance that we've talked about discharging a firearm inside city limits, which is important for us, because there's a lot of trespassing that goes on our property during hunting. Even though we tell people no, they still do it. Shocking. And then, we also had a chance to talk to Brenda Scott Henry, which was a great, when we had a great conversation. We went over a lot of things about how to maintain our mitigation areas. We weren't allowed to burn this year. And we talked that through with her, and NCAP actually sort of left us, who was our contractor. And now we have to get a new contractor to do that. And so we're trying to link up her and the new contractor to, to figure out a way to get this situated so the invasive species don't take hold. We are currently working on the next phase of the Heart Ditch stabilization, which is about 1,500 feet from, or 1,500 feet north of Franklin Bridge. That's going to estimated cost to be about $1.6 million. We're going to try to increase the pace of the phases as instructed by the chairman to see if we can do more since we have contractors already going to be in the system. And so we're waiting on some cost estimate, but that's not stopping us. We're just, the key phrase is we are starting the process of taking down the trees before April 1st because of the Indiana bat that I think is fictitious character. But we're going to do it anyways. And then sometime around May 1st will be hopefully maybe the awarding through Lake County. Lake County will do the awarding for this project. Just really briefly go through some things. We're doing some maintenance in partnership with the county on Dyer Ditch. We've got some maintenance in Hobart doing some beaver dam removals. We have some cutting of trees also in Cherville, and you'll hear about that project later because of the Indiana bat again, which I'd like to see one day. The PLC installation is starting or should be starting tomorrow. Hopefully this weather holds up. And then the watershed study, we have some submittals and we're looking through them, and we hope to award that within a week.
Beaver Dam in Hobart, is that?
That's not the Beaver Dam.
That's not the one.
Oh, it's a Beaver Dam, but not the. This one is pretty decent size, though.
Okay.
No, this isn't the legendary one. We held an advisory board meeting where you'll see some of the presentations. Everyone was able to participate. They gave us back their feedback on those, and then we'll be able, you'll hear some of the presentations today. We've had some various legal and acquisition dealings that we have to deal with the last month. And then we've also updated some commission procedures, one of which that you pointed out, which is our statements to the floor moved up from the last to the front. And then finally, I will say the drone survey is been flown. They're just downloading the data, and we'll have that last segment, which is Marshalltown and the I-94/65 corridor, which was the last piece missing. So they'll be able to download that, and then that's all a part of our geotechnical and levee analysis. That is helpful to us to make sure that there isn't anything sinking, but also helpful for the LOMAR so they can have it and submit it to FEMA. And that's all I got.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the 1.6 million for the 1,500 feet, is the county contributing?
The county is contributing the engineering, and we contribute the build. So they pay for the engineering costs of it, and we do it. And the long-term plan is basically to turn it over to the county for a regulated drain. That's what the handshake agreement was back then.
And the oversight too.
So the 1.6 is strictly?
Yeah, 1.6 is strictly this. They're in charge of designing it and watching it. And actually, one of these guys over here will watch it, right? Yeah. He keeps me out there, and he has to answer all the fun questions from all the residents that think their dogs get lost in the pond or something. So they're always good questions.
And then I know you mentioned the PLC, the location of the PLC is?
So the last two are at Grant West. It's a full cabinet, so it just needs to be the old one pulled off, new one pulled down, but you can't do it, of course, when it's raining. And then the other one is the same way as Marshalltown, full cabinet. Right now, we have to babysit them. We'll actually send people out there right now to make sure that everything's working. Marshalltown especially has been historically bad for us. It has trouble kicking on, so we have to go out there and do it. So it's good timing, but wish it would wait a week. And Glenn is the one installing it, and Superior was the one that designed and put it together.
Anything else?
So, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have one.
I want Dan.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
A good report for March. And especially for what you're doing for the city of Gary on that LOMAR application for them. they definitely need your help to, in order to get that process.
Well, Gary's all in now. They're re-engaged, I can tell you that. So I met with chief of staff, the mayor, community development, a lot of people.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Dan, speaking of the city of Gary, I read your report earlier and about the mitigation areas and Gary being all in. Is there a disconnect there? I mean, NCAP is the contractor that we've had for like 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah, so NCAP, I'm not going to put words in my mouth. I think they
walked off the job is what your report says, basically, because they couldn't get permits.
They couldn't get the burnt to burn. So their proposal was to burn the site to get control invasives as opposed to spot treated. And so when they kept on getting resistance, and this was the second year that they couldn't burn, so it adds more cost to them. So they then have said, basically, although they've been helpful to the new contractor, which is going to be Stantec, to sort of pass the baton to them and say, here are the hot spots, hot areas that so the invasives don't take control over it. And you know, the burning was an issue because it, so I think it went against their proposal, and I think there's better understanding now between us and the city.
Okay, I was going to say, yes, that was my question. Is this a shift in the city's positioning with how we've been? I mean, this is the same area we've been, NCAP was managing for years, right?
Yes, but I think the city was, not speaking for the city, but was being inundated with a lot of controlled burns up in the Miller section and the National Lakefront. So basically, okay, you would fill the whole city up, and they, you know, that's a lot.
Where there's like shutting down all burning.
They don't control it. And our argument is the area that we're talking about is 60 acres, pretty controlled area, not near anything,
right?
Not much population. So,
and nowhere near Miller, right?
It's communication.
So, Roger.
So,
okay, good to know.
So, Stantec is going to burn, but with the explanation or whatever, whatever was substantiated it to convince them that it's okay.
And actually, Stantec isn't going to burn because okay, they prefer not to burn. That's their technique. And Stantec was given to us by Derek, okay, who I asked for a recommendation because I said, I need someone. And I said, would you be interested? And he said, I'm busy. And so I said, well, who would you go with? And Stantec actually does our work out in off of Liverpool at the Rock Riffle. So I know I can deal with them. They understand it. And I, like I said, NCAP has been very helpful giving them what the as-builts were and what was planted and where are the areas that they need to be treated. Now that this is going to be in the third year, you know, you're pretty settled into the most parts of the area, but there are still some areas that cause them problems.
What's the alternative? Just curious to burning.
Spot treat. You got backpacks on and you find purple loosestrife and you spray it and you move on, which is a lot.
Okay.
Anything else?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Dan, on the item that you'd call out with the LaPorte District for NDOT and the possibility of us partnering or doing clearing the ditches around I-94. So these are the ditches between the levee and the highway, and it's the state property.
Yeah, some of it is platted. Some of it's right of way. Some of it's platted, Gary, but not developed. So they were once platted for a residential subdivision, but there never was built. We have a sort of an issue that I didn't mention, but it's small. It's on Martin Luther King, on one of the outfalls from the bridge on Martin Luther King that spills off into our levee. It's in a road that was dedicated under Gary, but so no one really owns it. It's supposed to be a road. With us having inspections coming up on April 7th, we're like, you're fighting, you know, I got NDOT here, I got city here, and we're just going to fix the thing. Because we actually have the material there because it's adjacent to where Hassie's doing work.
I guess my question is, that's a large chunk of property from 65 to Klein to get done on a major expressway. Safety concerns, whoever does the work, whatever contractor does that work, that's not going to be a small ticket item.
It's what we're proposing is a Marshmaster to enter off our levee onto there, not going on the expressway. NDOT said they really would prefer it. I don't want to be on the expressway. It is so the Marshmaster won't cost much, but the material to get it out, as far as fenders, tires, like there's a lot of things that you could imagine on a daily basis. But yeah, I think what we talked about initially, and I told them, is we would start at I-65 and maybe work back to Grant, you know, or work back to a section and go, okay, what is this looking like? Because the biggest segment that we have problems with is between Martin Luther King and the 94 interchange, because of how it goes. And actually, George or Malcolm X, it's on the north side. It stays in that ditch a long time.
You mean the 65?
Yeah. Did I say something else? What did I say wrong? But another section we have a problem with is on the south side between Chase and Grant. That's another area that feeds the pump station over there. For whatever reason, it just doesn't have a lot of tilt to it. And so the water stays, and we get all kinds of growth of things.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Got a lot of presentations tonight.
Yeah.
Obviously, these went through already the advisory board, and they're going to give us their spiel. You can take the floor, Dan, and introduce the gentleman. And
you want Darren? You want to start
moving through?
The first one, and I'm not going to steal the thunder, is from the town of Merrillville. As far as they want to update their stormwater master plan, hasn't been updated, I believe, in 10 years. And so I'll let him speak the rest of it.
Share my screen.
No Mr. Lake tonight, huh?
No, unfortunately, Matt is not available, so I will be taking the reins here.
Why don't you state your name before you start?
Sure. There. So my name is Darren Olson. I'm with Christopher Burke Engineering. Unfortunately, Matt Lake could not be here tonight, but we have worked closely with Matt on the original stormwater master plan, and so he had asked me to come here and talk about the update to it. Much like your commission is updating your watershed plan, the town of Merrillville produced a stormwater master plan for the whole town in 2014, and their goal is to update it as well. They're going to incorporate some new water quality data. And they're going to stick with, and I'll talk about a little bit about the existing plan, but they're going to stick with this modular concept where they look at different sub-watersheds separately so they can pull those sub-watersheds out and apply for grants very quickly. And the town has been very successful with that. All the data is housed, and the previous one and this current one will be housed in a geo database. So very easy to share with the commission, share with Lake County Surveyor's Office. And it has been a really effective platform for sharing drainage information from the previous reports with all stakeholders. Our request, the approximate cost is roughly $78,000. So the request as an engineering request is for 50% of that, which is $39,265. Just real briefly, the previous master plan came out of a lot of what we all remember from 2008. This is the cover page of that. And really what I'd like to talk just real briefly about is this concept of looking at each sub watershed individually, which is what we would be updating. And really it's the detailed engineering analysis that is gonna be critical with new rainfall, with new information, primarily new development that has occurred in the town, as well as a lot of flood control projects that have previously been constructed. We want to incorporate that into the master plan and really see what's left to tackle. This is the western side of Merrillville, and we can see here the 9 different sub watersheds that were analyzed in detail. From Meadowdale Lateral all the way down to the northeast portion of Turkey Creek. These would be the ones that we would be analyzing again. We'd be using similar models that we had before, again, looking at detailed hydrologic and hydraulic models, very similar to what you've been doing for your studies for the commission here. Looking at land use within each sub-watershed, looking at things, you know, such as, you know, the revenue contribution from their stormwater utility, the wards, There's a stormwater quality component that we looked at in a lot of detail, looking at the hot spots from EPA and other websites and incorporating that. Using the models to delineate where flooding would occur, and then using those same models to come up with cost-effective flood control projects. And we really make an effort to break down the benefits for each one of these projects, whether it's roadway overtopping that is reduced, residential, commercial structures that are now protected, and then what's the cost of those flood control projects. Again, we look at each watershed and we analyze each one of these projects to come up with the most cost-effective project. And then we develop what's called this prioritization matrix that I'll show you here. This is an example of, you know, nice graphics of the GIS database that we have. There's in this database, there's water quality data, land use data, parcel, topography, FEMA data. Again, all that is going to be updated now because in the last 10 or 15 years, the amount of data that's available, the methods that we're using to analyze the data with the hydrologic and hydraulic models have come light years in the past decade. And so we're going to be updating it, updating these hydrologic and hydraulic models and this GIS database with this new information and new methodology. And coming back to developing new projects and coming up with cost estimates for those projects. Here's some small text here, but this is the prioritization matrix. And so we did a very logical order of for each one of these sub watersheds, how many homes are benefited, how large of this is in comparison to the overall area that we're looking at, everything down from number of structures protected, the repetitive loss structures, roadways that are protected, minor roadways, roadable, you know, channels with a roadable velocity. So we're entering all of this into the matrix and then looking at what is the cost to implement a project that will help provide benefits to all of these stakeholders. And that's really the goal of the previous watershed plan. I'll talk real briefly here about a couple of projects, but the previous watershed plan was really a launching pad for the town to implement several projects that have been very beneficial. And that's really the goal of this plan, is to come out of it projects that stream restoration, flood storage, conveyance improvements, all things that are improving the quality of life in the town. And so I'll scroll through a couple slides here. And these are 8 sample projects that have originated from the previous plan. And it's important to note that these consist of flood storage, which is usually the primary component of these projects, is flood storage, storm sewers, stream bank stabilization, and culverts that are providing flood protection and watershed benefit. The total storage added out here in the town since that study is 83 acre feet, or 730 million gallons of floodwater storage have been added since 2014 based on the results of that 2014 master plan, which is why we feel so important to update it so we can then find more projects that are beneficial that can provide this type of storage in the watershed. So one of the first ones we did was the Taft Street Drainage Improvement Project. That was $2 million. Roughly 20 acre feet of storage by coordination with NDOT. That one. Another one was the Bon Air Lake Culvert Replacement Project. That one was a smaller cost, lowering a culvert by creating a big block there of storage, almost 9 acre feet of storage for that. Another project that I was involved with is the Meadowdale Lateral Flood Storage Project. We also did as part of this. In coordination with the commission here, we did analyze the full upstream watershed and provided some additional work that's to be done here. But a tremendous amount of flood storage, 45 acre feet of flood storage that was all provided in wetland habitat out here. Again, something that was identified in the 2014 Stormwater Master Plan. Grand Boulevard Drainage Improvement Project, this is was more of a stream bank stabilization project that came out of the Stormwater Master Plan in Connecticut in 69th. This was to help protect a school and a neighborhood and to eliminate a lift station It's involved primarily storm sewers. Iser Ditch East Tributary Flood Control Project, again, came directly out of the Stormwater Master Plan and primarily included reconstruction of culverts that we see here in that nice pretty picture. The Hickory Ridge, this is one that is currently, has completed design, has been bid out and starting construction. Hickory Ridge subdivision was hit really hard during the 2008 flood event. The main level was completely inundated with flooding. And so this is a project to provide additional flood storage, as well as some pump station and drainage improvements to protect the condo complex. And finally, one here on the far west side of town, which involved primarily storm sewers and drain tile work. So with that, I know Matt, if you were here, we would give a special thanks to the commission for all your support in the past. Forward to teaming with you in the future for great drainage and flood control projects. Thank you. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sure. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it. Anybody's got questions?
You're allowing me to speak.
Hi. Start down here on the left.
I had one question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Robert.
We're at $39,000 roughly. The engineering study, what's the duration of that? How long would it be before we see the deliverable? 1 year, you said?
It would be approximately 1 year.
1 year.
Thomas, you good?
Did I see 50 acre feet of storage? Where did I see that? That's on the first or second slide somewhere, maybe.
Yes. So the one that, this is the Meadowdale Lateral Flood Storage Project. This is in the town just south of 55th, I believe, is three basins, two that are directly next to each other, and one is that's off to the side. This is on the drainage way is Meadowdale Lateral. And yes, that was 45 acre feet of flood storage.
Do you guys, this is sort of a arbitrary question. Do you sort of have any type of, here with Christopher Burke, maybe this is a math late question, like what the potential acre feet storage opportunity that might exist?
Is that further up north than that?
Right.
Yes. So we did study that, and there were areas, there's some vacant land, I believe at one point that was owned by the school district that's further north of the town's limits. We had looked at a couple different alternatives for providing quite a bit of flood storage, many times this amount of flood storage up there. And I believe that is one of the things that Matt would like to do as part of this update is to really dive into that and to determine exactly how much benefit that would be in ways to team with other stakeholders to try to make that happen.
Seems like they addressed a lot north with Hickory and Meadowdale, and if there's opportunity south, hopefully this study could contribute to it.
Yeah, I think Matt intends to fully look at, I'll go to the map here. So, Meadowdale Lateral is up at the northern part of the town boundary, but I know Matt's intention is to not only look at there and a little bit north of the town boundary, but to also then, these other Kaiser Ditch, we saw projects there. He wants to look at Chetwell Manor. I know there's a couple of projects that he'd like to do there. A little bit Broadfield, there's been some work there with development that he wants to make sure gets incorporated into the master plan.
Okay. All right. Thanks, dear.
Ron?
Oh,
good. Excellent. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Mr. Reed, thanks. Banner up.
Yeah, the next three presentations, same person. So not a lot of change in people here. So the first one's going to be Turkey Creek Maintenance. This is going to be a three-phase project starting on the far east side, basically looking at opportunities to stabilize it and opportunities possibly for storage. So I don't want to take all of it and You're going to go right into your town of Dyer one, right?
Yeah, I got
him. He's going to go with it. I'm not a good open lead anyways.
So you're going to do the next three?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Name and...
Yeah, good evening, everyone. My name is Joe Wilk. I work at Christopher Burke Engineering. And I, Dan said, I'll be presenting on three projects back to back to back here this evening. So first and foremost, thank you for having me. The first presentation I had is from the, it's on a Turkey Creek funding request. So this is a request by the Lake County Surveyor's Office to address a regulated drain, Turkey Creek. Turkey Creek has over 38 square miles at this portion of regulated drain that we're looking to do some work on here this year. It's just upstream of Lake George. My next slide will have an aerial view of the work area. Benefits include communities of Maryville, Sherrillville, Griffith, and Hobart. In this corridor of Turkey Creek, there is some significant log jam that are built up. There are some areas that need stream bank and tow stabilization. Looking at plants, some native grasses and shrubs, some trees, as well as the hard armor, and a few of these bends, which are leading to potential infrastructure risks. Other things we're looking to do, as I mentioned, tow bank habitats, and then a lot of this work is looking to be done to reduce the sediment and erosion that is being conveyed downstream into Lake George. So here's that aerial view I was talking about. It's kind of color coded, but a few spots. I actually walked this stretch in November this past year. It is from Liverpool Road to Broadway or State Road 53, I believe. And it's about a 2 mile stretch this phase. We're calling phase one, calling for a slew of tree removals. That these trees are right up on the edge of bank at the toe and about to slough in any year now, potentially any month. Mainly a lot of dead trees as well. And there are a lot of felled trees and lumber that are in the waterway or traversing the waterway, causing impediment to flow. And then there is, as well as some of these meanders, some stream bank stabilization that would be needed to help protect some areas that are completely bare earth. We're talking 4 to 5 feet of just soil that's slowly eroding off when the water rises up from storm vents, like it probably is here this evening and tomorrow. So the request we have is for 60% of the total design and construction, which comes out to $444,000. That is the end of my presentation, short and simple. So I'll take questions now on this first presentation.
Mr. Kostecki.
Is this something that the town is going to address on their own or tackle on their own, or is this outsourced to contractors?
So this is the county surveyor's office.
I apologize. Thank you. And you guys will be directing the work or doing the work? You'll be directing it to contractors?
Correct. Yes. We'll get necessary permits and then send out to bid sometime later this year.
I have one, Mr. Chair.
This is harder. Right?
Correct. Yes. This extends, we walked about I think it was 9 or 10 miles in November, December from Liverpool, which is the downstream end of the county drain, regulated drain of Turkey Creek, all the way up to, I think, US Route 30. So about 10 miles. Yeah.
Is the requester the surveyor's office?
Yes. Lake County Surveyors.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question regarding the design.
You're not sponsoring, right?
Hello.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
Good. Okay. Hey. Yeah, Joe. Quick question. I think you said there's a bunch of felled and down trees in there, but then I think the plan indicated you're going to plant trees.
Yes. So a lot of trees, and the county last did a long maintenance project, or full scale look at this drain, about 15 or 20 years ago. And if you look at aerials, a lot of this floodplain, these areas, if you can see my cursor,
I'm tracking
filled with trees. So something, beavers have gotten to it, and a lot of trees are down, which now there's no canopy cover on this area of Turkey Creek, and it's decreasing water quality. And we're looking to provide more shade by planting trees and getting that canopy cover back as a part of this project.
Okay, so we'll have the same problem again in 20 years.
Well, it's, I think the thing that sort of comes up to me is negligence of it not being maintained right now. A major issue.
The county has done various projects throughout the Turkey Creek corridor at locations which have needed to face severe erosion. I think you can actually see there's a few, I don't know if I have it on here, but there's been some projects completed. Right off the 61st place, there was a gentleman, his house was facing some erosion. If you can see my cursor here, yeah. That the county did a project not a handful of years ago to adjust the 10-foot, 12-foot cliff there.
Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ware.
You've got a total of $740,000 in your estimated construction and planning and design cost.
Correct.
And is that for, I heard mention you or Dan, there's three phases to this. This application has phase one listed. Is that cost for all three, or that's just for phase one of three?
That we're looking at just phase one of three, that cost.
Does the planning and design, is that for the whole system or just the one phase? The $40,000 attributed to the planning and design.
Right now we're looking at phase one, but likely it will not come to that much, but still.
There'll be additional planning and design costs for the next two phases.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
So the 40K is just for this segment.
Correct.
You good, Ron?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Everybody? Anybody else?
So what is the total lineal footage of ditch that you're addressing here, Turkey Creek? How much is going to be, how much work will be done for $700,000?
But again, we walked this whole stretch that you see on the sheet along with some other parts for phases two and three.
So this is everything that's represented here is phase one?
Yes, and we'll... As we get further along with the planning and design, we'll have obviously more detailed sheets, but we're looking at everything in color here is work to be done, areas of work.
And so that's all phase one work.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's 10 miles.
Sorry.
Is that roughly 10 miles?
This is like 2.5, 3 miles.
Yeah. 3 miles.
That's
and the toughest part about this area is the wetlands and access. So we're trying to disturb as little as possible. So timber matting to get construction vehicles tends to be a large construction cost.
Is all three phases of total? I thought I heard you say the word, but number 10 miles. Is all three phases 10 miles?
Correct.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Nothing for me.
On that one? Okay, let's go to the next one is Sandy Ridge.
Right, you guys get more of me.
It's better than me, though. You're
going to get three chances at that.
So next one is, was mentioned, Sandy Ridge funding request. This is in the town of Dyer. It's a request from the town of Dyer, and it is at the Sandy Ridge neighborhood subdivision, as you see here on the aerial, just south east of US Route 30 and Calumet Avenue. So this subdivision has about 96 areas of tributary area drainage area. And what we're looking to do is there's a park on the north side of the subdivision that is a low spot in the area, which if you look back at old aerials before the town was truly really developed, it was a low-lying marsh, and now it's collecting a lot of stormwater and the conveyance issue downstream. There's a tension basin downstream, and this park is upstream. And we're now looking to provide more storage volume in this park area. As you see the exhibit here, this is an existing 10-year and 100-year inundation area. The light shaded blue is the 10, the dark's the black, or the darker blue. And the water depth on the road, 25-year storm, we're looking at a quarter foot, 50-year storm event, about a foot, and then 100-year, about a foot and a half. on Boulder Road, and then it gets, I think, about a half a foot on Rolling Road on the right side of that photo. So the plan is right now the park against the lowest spot in the northern half of the subdivision. The town wants to excavate out about 3 acre feet. You can see it's existing storage is 4.2 acre feet. They're looking to make that bump that up to 7.1 acre feet. The park currently drains to the middle to an 8-inch and 10-inch storm sort. We're looking now to grade the park so it slopes from north to south and drains to a low point, which then we would actually install a small pump station there to pump up some water just to get more volume in this park, is try to get as low as possible with taking into account groundwater issues as well. This is what we deem the best to maximize the storage area. And with this project, with the excavation, that small pump station there, we can hold the 25 and 50 year storm event within the park and stop that roadway ponding, and then get the 100 year storm event down to 6 inches on Boulder Road and totally prevent any flood issues or concerns on Rolling Hill Road. So the request from the town of Dyer is for $240,408, which is 60% of the total construction cost. With that, I'll take questions on presentation number two.
This area drained the Hart's Ditch?
Oh, sorry, I should have mentioned it. This goes to Dyer Ditch.
Dyer Ditch?
Okay. You might be able to see it. No, I don't think I... Oh, here. You can see my cursor, Dyer Ditch. Runs just alongside Castlewood Park.
And you said there's currently a storm sewer there that takes some of this water out?
So this area, project location, drains to a storm sewer under Flat Rock Road, which then goes to a true detention basin on site, which is pumped up as well into Dyer Ditch. Which that detention basin is at capacity. Mm-hmm. We're on your design storm, so that's why we're looking to add more storage upstream.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Ronix.
Thank you. Looking at the contours and the road, it looks like we're going to hold about 4 feet of water in this park. If I'm correct, how long is that water going to sit in there before it pumps out? And are there any environmental considerations like mosquitoes or whatever? Anything like that?
Nope. Great question. We designed this park to drain out in a 24 to 36 hour storm period or time period.
Gravity? Oh, no, you said a pump station.
So it actually is gravity drained about the top 70%, I would say. And then the bottom, the lower 2 to 3 feet would be pumped out via that small pump station at the southern corner.
Roger. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ware.
Is this in a current homeowner association or no?
It is not.
Anybody else?
I may have missed it. How many acre feet of storage did you say? I missed that.
We'll be increasing it by 2.9 acre feet.
You guys think that if you did this, all that road water would be gone?
So 6 inches in 100 years.
Show 6 inches on over the road there.
Oh, see that picture. Anybody else? All right.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Ware.
Does the town currently have the money appropriated for the project?
I do not know that answer off the top of my head, but I can find that out.
Anybody else? All right. Next one, Sherville Ditch.
3-3. So this is the Sherville Ditch funding request. The local sponsor is the Lake County Surveyor's Office. This request is related to stream bank stabilization for about a quarter mile stretch on Cherryville Ditch from, I believe that's Indianapolis Boulevard on the right hand of the screen down to that's Deer Creek Road. I forget what street that is, that north south road, but that's a Stonebridge subdivision in the town. Oh, here we go. Janus Drive. It's US 41. So this is a county regulated drain. It's got about 500 acres of tributary area, and this is facing some severe erosion. It's a lot of sediment has sloughed off the stream banks and is starting to be conveyed downstream into Cherryville Ditch, conveys into Dyer Ditch, which then obviously conveys into Hart Ditch. We're looking to stabilize these banks, improve habitats with stone riprap, armor at the bottom, plant trees, shrubs, and other vegetation along the middle upper half of the bank, as well as at the top of the bank. All this to reduce future sediment and erosion. Here's a couple of photos from the bank. It's probably each side of the stream bank's probably eroded about 3 to 4 feet in the past couple of years from some of these major urban, pretty much what you saw tonight here, where this thing rises up in a matter of feet in a matter of hours. Here's a typical section of what we're looking to do. As I said, the hard armor at the bottom where the velocity is highest, right around that ordinary high water mark, which is 2 to 3 feet above normal water level, as well as plantings at the top and along the sides. And what's pretty interesting about this project is there's actually two petroleum pipelines, one running each side of the ditch. You can see in this cross section that is slowly starting to, it's not at critical measures yet, but if we keep letting this get away, it
we'll have enough
cover. Start having potential cover issues and other items like that. Here's a plan view of some of the sheets. You can see the petroleum lines and some of the shrub plantings at the top to help provide more canopy cover on the waterway and get that water quality, as well as maintain conveyance is a large topic here as well. We're not going to pinch the channel. The request from the County Surveyor's Office, County Drainage Board, is $528,250.46, which is 60% of the total estimated construction cost. And with that, I'll take questions on presentation number three.
This is in the town of Cherryville?
Correct, yes.
Are they going to participate in any of this?
I don't have that answer. I believe so, but I can find that information out.
You could. Is this a result of the development north of it? Older?
That development's been there for about 25 years.
Okay.
And this erosion is, if you look at aerials, it's about the past four to five years.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ware?
So on the map, you show the shaded area, the blocked out area in the red, going across 41 and to the east. Is there any word that's good work that's going to be associated with 41 itself, culverts or anything, or work on the east side of 41?
There is a little portion on the east side that right where my cursor is, which is just in the past, I'd say less than 12 months, had some severe erosion where there was existing riprap, and then right a couple feet downstream, it started scouring out. So there's about a 50-foot stretch there. We'll do a little work.
No disruption to traffic or 41 itself?
That would be about 100 feet east of 41, and that all the work would be done from a parking lot there. And actually, I inspected the culverts under 41. I've been out here a few times, and they're in good condition.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what's the length of this project again?
I believe it is about a quarter mile.
4 miles?
A quarter mile. Quarter mile.
Quarter mile. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I believe more closer to half mile. The more I'm thinking about how long it takes me to walk a mile or half a mile.
And then another quick question. Is this a Burke recommendation for the 60%? I noticed all three projects from different municipalities were all 60%. is there a method to the madness, or is it based on some other protocol out of curiosity?
As far as I know, no method. Just a number we thought would be reasonable for such requests.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That we're all through this. The other issues are new business, but I don't think we have any of that. The next meeting date is April 16th, 2025, in the same room. We will post that. Adjournment?
Mm-hmm.
I have a motion.
Chairman, I'd make a motion we adjourn our meeting.
Motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.